From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Melissa Block. Singer-songwriter Todd Snyder promises that his new CD, titled The Excitement Plan, is your surefire cure for the hard times. He guarantees it right there in the liner notes. You can trust me.
There's only two kinds of people, far as I can tell. The terminally ill and the worried well. Every time I've tried to climb out of this wishing well, I've only made it up just high enough to hurt when I fell. Well,
Todd Snyder tries to find the humorous upside on the downside of life, and he's seen a lot of that downside. Addiction, multiple stints in rehab, depression. Songwriting has been a lifeline.
That's always how it started for me, was as a way to keep my chin up and a way to keep myself invested and occupied in something. If it doesn't have some therapeutic element in it for me, then I'll move on from it.
It does seem there's a pretty deep vein of pain that runs through a bunch of these songs,
yes,
too.
Well, I'm a miserable person, yes.
Where would we be without that?
My favorite kinds of songs is, I like John Prine and Shel Silverstein and Billy Joe Shaver and the ones that are sad at the same time that there's funny parts in there.
Tell me the story behind the song Greencastle Blues.
I was in Greencastle, Indiana last summer and was held as a political prisoner for doing no wrong, according to me.
And what were you really held for?
Possession. I was marijuana. But while I was in there, I was kind of kicking myself. I thought, here I am in jail, still going to jail late into my 40s every once in a while, you know? And I started trying to sing a song to sort of explain what happened to my wife. And then I was sort of looking for a bright side. But it hurts to lean back in these handcuffs, like nine kinds of shame turned to rage. As a younger man, I might have put up a fight, but I feel like such a fool at my age. Some of this trouble just finds me, no matter where I turn. So how do you know when it's too late? How do you know when it's too late? How do you know when it's too late to learn?
You ask this question, how do you know when it's too late to learn?
Yeah.
Have you answered that question?
No, I feel like I'm still waiting to figure a lot of things out. I hope I'm along with a lot of the rest of the people in the country. I meet people who think they know what they're doing and where we're going and what's going on, but I've never felt like one of those people.
You have talked quite openly about your struggles over the years with drugs and alcohol,
yeah,
and you've been in and out of rehab,
yeah,
several times.
Yeah.
How many times?
Three times now.
Yeah.
It has always been a struggle for me. Lately, I've been doing good with it.
You, I think at some point I read you were diagnosed as being bipolar.
Yeah.
Does that diagnosis seem right to you? Does that fit with what you experience?
Yeah, I would say so. I don't know why a person that with a job as good as mine or as much freedom as me would get as depressed as I can get sometimes. And it doesn't make sense to me. So I agree with him that there's got to be something going on besides what's going on in front of me.
I'm curious about where the intersection is with all of that,
yeah,
with the mental struggles and, yeah, and the drugs and the music. Do you think it helps in some way? I mean, do you find that you're writing strongest maybe sometimes when you're,
yeah,
having the hardest time?
Going through the swings?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. That's what makes it hard to want to get out of, too, because I make up a lot of songs going in and out of those types of things. I kind of write myself out of those holes, you know. A lot of these songs were written in that hole. And then sometimes I'll come up with songs when I'm in a good mood, too.
So it can work both ways.
Yeah. And I try, though. I want to just be a good husband, most of all, before I'm being a good songwriter or a good gypsy. And so I definitely work at it.
Your wife is listening to us through the glass, and she's smiling right now when you said it. She just gave you a wave.
She's singing with me, money. Compliments and publicity,
It's an issue for me.
Even though I'm sure this has all been very painful, you are able to tap into the humor of this sometimes too. And you have a line in one of the songs in Money Compliments Publicity about going to see your therapist.
Yes, and she told me to do the best I could do.
Do the best you can do. I was hoping for something more specific.
And did you tell her that?
Yeah, I played her the song, and she liked it. And then it was funny, as I was doing an interview the other day with the New York Times, and the guy said, "Do you have a therapist?" And I said, "Yes." And he said, "She must really dislike you." And I thought, man, what a thing to tell somebody that their therapist doesn't like him. Well, this is it for me, pal.
Wow.
But that's not true. She loves that song, and she knows where it's coming from.
Man once said that the pinnacle of success was when you finally lost interest in money, compliments, publicity.
And that was Eddie Rickenbacker. He was a World War pilot, and he said, "You have achieved the pinnacle of success when you've lost interest in money and compliments and publicity." And I've always tried not to be interested in those things.
Huh. How did you decide to write a song about Doc Ellis, the pitcher who in 1970,
yes.
You tell the story.
Doc Ellis was a pitcher for the Pittsburgh Pirates, and in 1970 out in San Diego, he threw a no-hitter while under the influence of LSD. And I felt connected to that too, because I've many times come to work unprepared and still done okay. I think Doc Ellis gives unprepared people everywhere somebody to look up to. Because, you know, he didn't do it on purpose. He thought that he was pitching the next day.
Three up, three down for three straight innings and a 0-0 tie. As all those batters' names come ringing from a voice out of the sky. Hallucinating Halloween scenes, each new swing of the bat. His sinker looked like it was falling off a table, but nobody was hallucinating that. I took a look all around the world one time. Finally discovered you can't judge a book.
And there's no moral to this story.
It's... No, not really. I say you can't judge a book and leave off the line by looking at the cover, thinking you don't always know who's going to be able to deliver or have the solution. You can't rule somebody out just because of what you know about them or what you think of the way they're acting. I know, it's just, you know, I'm trying to challenge some really conventional thoughts that, you know, you can't judge a book. And not even if you've read it, you know. That's what I wanted to try to put forth.
Well, Todd Snyder, thank you for coming in.
Oh, I'm honored to have gotten to be here today. Thanks for having me.
You can hear more from The Excitement Plan and why Todd Snyder thinks he might be a member of the Kansas City Royals at nprmusic.org. You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.